Kicking things off tonight with our Tech Impact, we're going to be talking about the new Galaxy S24. Now, we've gotten a bit into discussing this phone a while ago, especially when it launched. But right now, I want to talk about the practical ways in which I've seen this phone really, really bringing something to the table. And I think a lot of devices are going to pale in comparison to what Samsung has now introduced. First of all, I want to mention the fact that in the world of Android, the two devices that are doing the greatest thing or are at the forefront of introducing AI features are the Pixel, the Google Pixel device, as well as the Samsung flagship devices, both Google and Pixel flagship devices. Now, I love Google. Now, honestly speaking, I love that the fact that they have so many software and so many apps that millions and billions of people around the world are able to gain access to for free. Even though I don't necessarily, I feel some type of way about the fact that they offer these services or products for free in exchange for advertising to you and collecting data based on how you use them. But I think that the principle of being able to offer things for free to everybody, imagine living in a world where Google Maps, you need to pay a subscription in order to use it. I mean, just imagine such a world. It really isn't a good world to live in. And I think many of us do need to learn how to use the free lunch approach and figure out how we can do it without putting people in a position where we're constantly collecting their data, because that's also something that people have a right to. But what I wanted to truly talk about is the fact that I've noticed a number of very useful features on the S24. I've been using it quite recently, testing a few features. I haven't bought it for myself yet, but I absolutely do plan to. What's unfortunate is that all these wonderful features that I'm enjoying so much, I've heard that Samsung announced that they might not, they're only going to be free for now for the next 2 years, and they might introduce a subscription after that. And for me, that's where they lose me. I'm just glad that the S24 is such a good phone that even without these smart or AI features, you still have yourself an incredible device. And we're living in a time where so many different companies are currently competing when it comes to generative AI or just AI in general, large learning models. There's so many of them competing with each other and against each other that we don't have to worry about whether we're going to have access to these features when Samsung shuts us out. And that's a very good position to be in. I love that we're in that position. Now, Apple in the moment is currently playing a lot of catch up when it comes to AI. They do not have any meaningful AI that they've introduced into the world of artificial intelligence. Now, at the same time, Apple often is behind on most technologies. Even with the VR headset, they were very behind. And then they released the Apple Vision Pro. And now, even though they're not selling the most, even though not most majority of people are not using their device, they are currently at the forefront of the VR and mixed reality conversation, even the augmented reality conversation. They are driving and leading the conversation. Every video you see on the internet is comparing every other device to the Vision Pro. And quite honestly, that's a very good position to be in. And that's where Apple is happy to be. Another thing I wanted to tell you guys is the fact that Apple was, and we've spoken about it before, working on an electric vehicle. Now, this was a vehicle that was intended to feed into the Apple ecosystem, right? Where you'll have an iPhone, you have an iPad, you have a MacBook, you have the Vision Pro, and then now you'd also have this electric vehicle, an EV, an Apple EV. And honestly speaking, I always thought to myself, I didn't believe that this would happen, and at the same time, I also thought that if it did happen, it would happen very far from now, probably like in 2030, because manufacturing a vehicle and getting it as right as Apple would often want to get their products right takes a lot of time. And you need to make sure that the software works very well with every Apple device. including the Apple AirPods, including the Vision Pro, including the MacBook, the iMac, all of the iMacs, in literally including everything. I mean, even though you won't go and put an iMac in your car, but you have to have seamlessness amongst all of these devices. Obviously, all of them centered around the iPhone. So it would have been interesting to see a world where an Apple EV exists. I don't think Apple will completely give up on this. I think they're going to wait until they have a bullet in the chamber, basically a bullet that makes a huge difference, and then they're going to fire it, and all of us are going to be incredibly amazed. But obviously, for now, it's all speculation, for now, all we know is that Apple has looked at what's happening in the EV space, and they're not convinced that it's right now time for them to focus on releasing an EV for whatever reasons, which I'm sure we're going to be finding out more and more about it. For now, the question I have for you, though, is if you are an iPhone user, would you be interested in using an electric vehicle from Apple and having all of your devices integrated and working seamlessly with that vehicle?
Something interesting that's happening in the tech world, and it's a word that's actually been coined and that we see more often being used now, and it's been coined by a radio station. It's been not Cape Pulpit but Cape Talk that coined the phrase, one of their journalists, shrinkflation. And I just thought it might be worthwhile for us to have a look at this, seeing as it's something that we're currently living with. How do we react to this, and how do we live with it? Right, so the term shrinkflation is sort of the opposite of inflation. So inflation is when pricing of all things get more expensive. We see the fuel price hike within this week, which means that milk and bread and the daily stuff that we need will probably get more expensive because it's costing the companies more to get them to the stores. And due to the overall increase of all the products, to make certain products gets more expensive. So that's why you have to pay more for chocolate, right? That's why you have to pay more with regards to everything. And now the milk price is going up, so ice cream is going up. And that's what started this entire conversation, the shrinkflation conversation. Ice cream is getting more expensive. Now, what companies do then is they keep so they try to keep the price the same, but they give you less of the product than what you used to. So there was this specific brand of ice cream in South Africa that labeled that, listen, our containers are 2 liters. You are getting 2 liters. And then they dropped it and everybody complained. And then they made a new marketing scheme saying, like, listen, much bigger size. Now you get the extended or the larger size of 2 liters. Right? So you would purchase for the same price, you still get 2 liters of ice cream. But now, recently, they took off all that and they took off all the signage indicating the volume of the actual container. And you need to look at the bottom of the ice cream container to see what the actual volume is of that container. And they've dropped it again to 1.8 liters. Now, that's one of the things people are complaining about. Easter eggs, that, you know, those marshmallow Easter eggs that you could get with the white and yellow on the inside covered in chocolate. People are complaining those things are smaller. I don't know if you've noticed, but soft drinks used to be 330ml bottles. It's only 300ml bottles, but you're still paying the same price as the 330ml bottle, right? So that is what they call shrinkflation. Due to inflation, they need to shrink the product size in order for them to still make it sustainable or profitable to be in that company, be in that thing. So I thought it might be worthwhile. Have a look at it and see if you've noticed it somewhere in your direct area or products that you've used, that you are paying for still the same amount, but you're getting less of the product than what you used to. Ice cream, of course, is one of the major things that baffles me. And then, as I said, the other one that I've noticed, and it frustrates me quite a bit, is soft drinks. You pay more for soft drinks. Then the other thing that people are starting to mention, and I haven't experienced this, and probably because I haven't looked yet, but the other thing that people are complaining is the amount of chips in a chips packet. When you buy a big bag of Lay's or Doritos or whatever, it's actually, they say, I don't know, so don't quote me on this, but people are complaining that it's weighing less. It's not the same amount that they used to be in. It's less than what they used to be in. And that is the product of shrinkflation. Everything getting more, so we need to shrink the product to actually get to the same size. Sad, I know, but I think it's unfortunately the way the world is heading to. The great thing, and now this is also part of tech, and that's why I'm sharing it, is that when the previous generations, before hipsters, before Gen Zs and all that, when your parents or your grandparents were alive, the size of cool drink bottles or soft drinks that you used to buy were smaller than the ones that we get now. Same with ice cream. That which they used to call a family size ice cream is what you would probably call a 500ml or 1-liter ml ice cream now. What I'm trying to say is that we are probably heading back to that area, which or that way of thinking, which is not a bad thing, because we then realize that we don't need all things in excess. And we might, I'm saying shrinkflation is a bad thing, but I think we might start looking at living healthier, because we're not going to do all these things or purchase all these sugar and fizzy drinks in excess.